So we live our story, our lives by the stories that we believe in. The stories that we believe about history, about our culture, about our country, about who we are as people, about race and ethnic groups, about gender, the stories that we believe about family, the stories that we believe about children, the stories we believe about science. We live out our finances the way based on the stories that we believe are true about finances. We plan our vacations based on the stories that we believe about where Florida is and all sorts of things. We live our lives based on the stories that we believe. And the way that we live our lives, we are playing out the parts of the character we believe that we are and the stories that we think that we are in. And that's good, and it's fine, and it's the way that we were created to be. It's on purpose. That's a good way for us to be, but it's good to know that stuff. And more than anything, there is a story, there is the story that God wants us to hear and wants us to know. And it's a story that I love getting to share with you all. It's a story of who we are and where we come from. You okay, Jenny? Okay, all right. Sort of who we are and where we come from and who God is and what God is doing in the world, who Jesus is, where this whole thing is. It's a story of the kingdom of God. And I get to share this with you all every 3 years, maybe a little bit more than that, because I love it. And it's the thing that I most want you to be able to take away from your time at Edgewood Church, to know this, so that not just be familiar with it, but know it in a way where you can recite it to your children and tell it over again and to your grandchildren, that it shapes the way that you are in the world, and it shapes the way that you are when you wake up and when you go to work, sleep, that the way that you see yourself is a part of through this story. And we're going to start our story at the beginning, which is Julie Andrews says, is a very good place to start. And sometimes when we get into beginning stories, people get all tangled up in various things. And one of the places that people get tangled up is about the story and science. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things I'd like, but I'll just keep it at this, that the story of where we come from and who we are and all this stuff, it didn't get passed down to us from generation to generation over thousands of years throughout time and culture because of its profound insights into geology or biology or anthropology. And why this has been passed down from generation to generation over thousands of years throughout time and culture is because of its ability to speak profound truth into the human condition and about the human condition. There's different kinds of truth. There's truth that you can measure with a ruler or a set of scales, and there's a different kind of truth that you can see and find and know through story. And this is that second kind. And since this story that begins at the beginning isn't, and the whole story never is and never has been, something that is just something from far away in a distant land and just a nice story, but it's the story that has everything to do with your life, everything to do with my life. It is the backdrop and the fabric of the world that we are living in and what is shaping all of our the society, then we already know something innately about this story. We know that the story begins in tragedy. We know it. Every time that we broken in ourselves or broken, part of us says, things shouldn't be this way. Things shouldn't be this way. We're sensing that the story begins in tragedy. We sense this every time that we run into a part of us or where we say something or we do something that we wish we had never said or never done. We sense this every time we run into a part of us that we wish just wasn't there. We sense the tragedy. We sense the tragedy when we feel the distance between ourselves and other people, and we would love to close that gap. We don't know how to do it, and we don't know that it's possible. But there's brokenness and there's tragedy there. We sense the tragedy when we see the beautiful and precious things of this world treated with indifference and disregard. We sense the tragedy when we see children being mangled by abuse and neglect before their lives have even started. We sense the tragedy in violence and in war. Sometimes we sense the tragedy when we experience for ourselves or we see in other people around us generational poverty that we just can't get out of, and we see no hope for ourselves or for our children. I could go on and on and on, and I'm sure that you could too, but these are all places, all things that tell us that there is something broken, that there is tragedy in the story. And I think this part of us that experiences these things and says things shouldn't be this way, it's almost as if that part of us knows. It's almost as if it remembers that once things weren't this way. That our story begins with something important, something beautiful, something good being lost. If you open the Bible, the very front, and you begin reading, you'll begin reading about how God begins creating all that is. God will speak something, sing something into existence, look at it, hold it in his hands, and say, "This is good, this is beautiful, I love this." And go on and make the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And at the end of all the creating, God scraped together some dirt and some clay and formed it into the shape of a person and held their face, their head in his hands. And God breathed God's breath, God's life, God's spirit into this clay. And the first person came alive. And they opened their eyes, and the first thing that they saw was the face of God shining back at them with love and delight. And God said, "This is very good. I love this." And God took these first people and showed them around the world that God had created. That, hey, this is all for you to enjoy and to take care of, to look after. And I will walk with you in the cool of the day, and we'll talk about life together. And all things lived in perfect harmony, God and people and God and all of creation, just as things were meant to be. They lived in perfect harmony in a world unmarred by disease or darkness and death and all its forms, a world unbroken, a world where God held everything together in perfect harmony in what would later be thought of as the kingdom of God, where all things live and breathe their being just as they were created to, unmarred. But since this isn't some story from just long ago and far away, but it's our story, we know that things didn't stay that way. We know things didn't stay that way. So God loves us, and there is no love without choice. And God wanted the choice, the freedom, to choose whether we loved God, whether we trusted God, whether we wanted God to be king, whether we wanted God to be the ultimate authority in our life, or we wanted us to be. Whether we wanted something else to be, whether we didn't trust God. And so in all of the created world, God planted one tree, and he said, "Everything else is yours to enjoy and to take care of. But never eat the fruit from this tree. Because the day that you do, the moment that you do, you will then, in a tangible, experiential way, know both good and evil. You will be able to decide for yourself what is good and what is evil. And then also, you will know death." And because he was talking to human beings, and because we're human beings, don't you know that there was a day that came along, and that's where they chose to hang out? Right by that tree. And in all of the created world, everything was theirs to enjoy, to love, to take care of. They had purpose. They had belonging. They had connection. They had all of those things. And there was only one way out, and that was the tree. And that's where they hung out. That's where they were spending their day. A thought began to come to them. Then, I wonder if God is holding out on us. Maybe God can't be trusted. Maybe God isn't such a good king. What is this all about knowing and deciding for yourself and not trusting God? Maybe we would make better decisions about what is good and what is evil. Maybe we would be better kings and lords of our lives. So thinking these things, thinking that they would be better off knowing and deciding for themselves between good and evil, the people that God had made, the people that God had breathed God's breath, God's spirit, God's life into, took the fruit and ate it. And immediately began to know things that they had never known before. Things like guilt and shame. Immediately they began developing new abilities that they had never had before. Abilities like deceit and betrayal. This knowledge and this new growing knowledge and these new growing abilities in the area of evil would only grow over time. And the last part of what God told them would happen was still yet to come. For the price of a bite of fruit, the kingdom of God was lost to them and lost to us. You've heard me tell this story before. What was so terribly horrible about that particular fruit? Anybody remember? Nothing. Nothing. A friend of mine used to think it was bananas because he hated bananas. That was the big sin. It was only the fruit was just a tangible way for them to decide and to live out their deciding about whether they trusted God or whether they didn't trust God. Whether they wanted God to be king or whether they didn't want God to be king. Whether they thought that they should be the ultimate in their life or that God should be the ultimate in their life. It was a tangible way for them to live out their believing. So the place that the real action happened wasn't in their mouths. It was in their hearts and in their souls. And the fruit, whatever it was, bananas, mangoes, whatever, was just a way for them to live out what was happening in their hearts. That should sound familiar to so many of us. May not have been fruit. May have been something else. So this God that would walk with them in the cool of the day came looking for them, found them, and said, because what you've done, because of your new growing knowledge and your new growing abilities in the areas of evil, you can no longer stay in the garden where the tree of life grows and all things grow and live and breathe and find their being unbound by time and death. A place where your new growing abilities and your new growing knowledge would also grow unbound by time and death. God forcing them to leave the garden was an act of mercy and an act of love. So as these people headed out for a life of their own choosing, a life separated from God, their knowledge and their abilities, this newfound knowledge and this newfound abilities would only grow like an infection over time, infecting all of their life and everything they touched and the lives of their children and their descendants. And on, eventually would infect all of the created world. A world where people get the sense sometimes, a broken world, broken people that get the sense from time to time that things shouldn't be this way. That things shouldn't be this way. That maybe we don't make very good gods of our lives. Maybe we don't make very good kings of our lives. Maybe we need someone to save us. And we can't save ourselves. The kingdom of God, God's good kingdom was lost to them and lost to us. Paradise was lost, and the rebellion that day had begun. This story, as I've said, is not about something long ago and far away, but it's about you and it's about me. It's about what's in our hearts and in our souls. It's the thing that shapes our lives. About being broken people, living in a broken world, desperately in need of a Savior. About needing someone to heal us, heal all the brokenness, set things right. About us needing God to be king. About us longing for God's good kingdom. The lost kingdom is the tragedy of our existence. And that is the backdrop of everything that we see when we think things shouldn't be this way. It's the heart of all of our grief. And maybe a part of you hears that, this beginning story, and like me, feels like, well, that's only part of the truth. Like, I see that there's stuff messed up in the world, but there's a whole lot of good people in the world, and there's a lot of good things in good people. And nature and creation and all those things, they're beautiful. And that's so good if you think that, because that's what the Bible says too. That's part of our beginning story too. That the truest thing about you and about me and about every single person that you will ever meet, everyone who is homeless, everyone who is wealthy, everyone who is incredibly gifted, everyone who is incredibly challenged, everyone that you will ever meet is somebody that is created uniquely in the image of God to be a unique image bearer of God, to exhibit before the world something about God in their own unique way that nobody else ever can or ever will. Someone that God has breathed God's breath, God's spirit, God's life into. Someone with incredible, each and every one of us are full of incredible potential for beauty and creativity and goodness. And that is always and all now and forevermore will be the truest thing about you and about me. And the truest thing about our world is and will always be that it is an intricate and amazing and beautiful creation of an unfathomably amazing God. Always will be. It's a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. Everyone that you ever meet is a masterpiece created by God. But the masterpiece is broken. There's a flaw, a fatal flaw. And you can see it almost everywhere you look. Walk down the street, meet people that have lost everything, including their own mind. And you see that things shouldn't be this way. Listen to that part of yourself that says things shouldn't be this way. Go and sit in a courthouse. Go and sit in a juvenile courthouse. Go and sit in a family law courthouse. Go and sit in any courthouse for a day, for an hour. You'll say things shouldn't be this way. Things are broken. Things are flawed. Go walk down the aisle or prison. You'll see that things shouldn't be this way. Talk to a social worker. Talk to an EMT. See the brokenness. And if you're still not getting it, turn on the news and listen to politics for a minute. And you'll see that things are messed up and we can't save this and we can't fix it and things are irrevocably broken. And if that's not good enough, if you're still not getting it, go to your family reunions and get-togethers or come to mine. And you will see that things are broken and things are messed up and things are flawed at the soul level. And that people aren't going to make this a whole lot better. People are the heart of the problem. And anything that you do with people, that flaw, that infection, that brokenness is going to be an integral, a fundamental part of it. We can do better and we can do worse, but we can't save ourselves and we can't get rid of this brokenness. The masterpiece is broken. Everything is not okay. We need a Savior. We need somebody to heal us. There's we need and a place that we long for, a reality that we long for, that we can't get back to. We can't save ourselves. Maybe there's a part of you, because it's a part of all of us, that really doesn't want God to be king. It's our pride. It's our fear. We think that in our fear that God will just smash us and hate us, that God's really out to get us. And our pride, it's all mixed in there, right? In our pride, we think, well, I'm better off going my own way. I'm better off going my own way. I don't want God to be king. What would that be like to have authority over me, to live as if there's somebody that's higher than me? Maybe good church people, you come to church and you're okay with God being king as long as, or you're okay with having God in your life as long as God is really treating you as king, right? Granting your requests, blessing your life, giving you comfort. But when it comes to sacrifice and service, stepping into the unknown, taking risks, look at those areas. Is God king? Or are you trying to take on, be king of God? God can only be God. And so if there's anything different, then you're just fooling yourselves. You can only take God into your life as God and or nothing at all. And anytime we do that, we are just carrying on, continuing the original sin that began in the lost kingdom of rejecting God as king and saying, I want to be on top. I want the throne. I want the power. I want to decide. I want to choose. Me, I. And that brokenness will invariably be felt in your own life and be felt by the people and the world around you, broken people living in a broken world. It's not a happy beginning. Our story begins in tragedy, and it can't begin any other way. And I think at a soul level, all of us know it. But it's only embracing this tragedy, it's only embracing this tragedy that we can ever find real hope. And grieving what was lost and in how it was lost, only then can we really discover the incredible joy and the incredible hope and the meaning of what God has done and what God is doing in our lives and in this world. It's only when we finally give up hope, when we finally give up false hope, and political parties or political movements or countries or nationalism or raising the standard of living or in sex or alcohol or people liking us or whatever it might be. All the things that we make gods of and all the things that make slaves of us. When we give up our false hopes in these things, it's only then that we ever begin to become free. It's only then that we actually grab onto the thing that can really give us hope, really lead us to freedom, really lead us to life. It's only then when we begin to trust in this God that created us and loves us more than we can imagine that we can begin to discover this thing called the gospel, the good news, and embrace it with hope. It's only in the pain and the honesty of seeing our brokenness and our place in the messed upness of the world that we can find peace and healing, the peace and healing of God's good kingdom. It's only those who grieve and give up hope and become disillusioned with the kingdoms of our own making and deeply long for the last, for the lost kingdom, that can experience the incredible joy of finally, finally coming home. And this is how our story begins. Let's pray.